Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter @Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. Today's episode is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. Thank you so much for your support. You can go to support.greatdetectives.net to support the program. Now we begin a new week of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. It's time for the Flight 6 Matter, Part 1 and Part 2.
From Hollywood, it's time now for Johnny Dollar.
Pete Codley, Johnny. Guaranteed transport.
Oh, hiya, Pete.
Seen the papers?
No, I just got up. Why, what's happened?
Air crash, for one thing.
Air crash? Where?
Mexico. Flight 6, Aztec Caribbean line, Mexico City to Havana. Crashed in the mountains 10 minutes after takeoff. 7 passengers and a crew of 3.
Survivors?
The way it sounds, none.
Oh, tough. How do you come into it, Pete?
We underwrite a company that handles flight insurance down there. 3 of the passengers bought policies at the airport. We're stuck for $75,000. This is a nice time of the year in Mexico, Johnny.
What do you want me to do? Find out why it crashed?
No, I know why it crashed. Somebody meant for it to.
What do you mean?
That plane blew up in midair. I'll get you a reservation.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Home Office Guaranteed Transport Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Flight 6 matter. Item 1, $173.20, airline fare and incidentals, Hartford, Connecticut to Mexico City. I checked my baggage through customs and started making inquiries, and more inquiries, and then some more. And after the 14th, quien sabe, maybe is better you ask him, I found the office I was looking for. Or at least I thought I'd found it. The flowery Spanish title on the door translated roughly into Inspector General of the Department of Civil Air Transport. But when I opened the door, I wasn't so sure.
Come in, Jack. Make yourself at home.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking for
You found him. That's me. Don't let the big words on the door fool you. I'm all there is. There ain't no more. So come in. Shut the door.
All right, thanks.
Is your name Dollar?
That's right, Johnny Dollar.
Macklin here. Mac Macklin. One-time mongrel from the south side of Chicago. I got a wire from your office. Said you'd be in on Pan Am Flight 12. Pull up a chair and squat, will you?
All right.
Well, what were you expecting? Spanish grandee with a white silk shirt, a black silk tie, and a second cousin on the cabinet?
Well, maybe. At least I wasn't figuring on a Southside Mick with a 17th century desk and a cotton sweatshirt.
Well, now, here's what little dope we've got on the crash. Most of it you probably know already.
I left on 20-minute notice. All I've seen is one newspaper item. I can use a lot more.
Well, you won't get much more out of that report. We got a crew over at the wreckage around 2 hours ago.
Survivors?
No, he didn't have a chance. That crate is scattered over 10 acres of mountainside. Didn't catch fire, though, so we might turn up something or other. Oh, I got a good man in charge up there, Juno Romero. You'll meet him later. I'm sending another jeep up there in a few minutes, and you can go along if you want.
Thanks, I will. My company figures sabotage. Any chance they're wrong? Could it have been accidental? Equipment failure, personnel failure, something like that?
Well, if I thought so, I'd be up there at the wreck myself. That'd be my kind of job, but this one's different. You know, it's detective work, your kind of job. And Gino Romero's. No, he talks as soft as a girl out of finishing school. Looks a little like one, in fact. But underneath it, he's as sharp as a tack and tougher than an old boot full of nails.
What actually happened when the plane went down? All I've heard is that it blew up in midair.
That's right. Well, a few Indians were on the only ones who saw it. They were burning charcoal up on a slope at about 9,000 feet. They were watching the plane circle, gaining altitude. Then one big flash, the tail blew off. Pilot didn't have a chance. He rode it straight into the side of the mountain.
The tail? That sounds like the baggage compartment.
That's the way I figure it. An explosive of some kind, a time bomb smuggled on board before the takeoff. I'm covering that angle from this end. I'm rounding up every one of the baggage gang, the maintenance crew, anybody who had a chance to get near that plane before it left the field out there.
And what have you found out?
Well, so far, nothing. We're trying to check back, too, on the individual passengers, the plane crew, trying to find out who might benefit by having any one of them dead. Well, I guess that'll be your angle, too.
Yeah, at least as far as insurance is concerned.
Well, there were 3 flight policies issued, and the names are in the reports here. So
yeah, I know. I've got them. The Home Office gave them to me, along with the names of the beneficiaries.
I haven't talked to any of them yet. I figured that you know how to go about it better than I would.
Now, there's another possible insurance angle, and that's the cargo. Do you know if there was anything valuable on board?
Worth destroying for the insurance, you mean? No, it was done by somebody who deliberately set out to kill one of the 10 people on board that plane. And who didn't mind killing 9 others to get that one. It was premeditated, cold-blooded. Now, you get him, Johnny. Get him for me, and then just leave me alone with him for about... Come in.
One of you is Senor McLean, Inspector General de Departamento...
Yes, that's me. What can I do for you, Jack?
They will not give to me any information, Senor McLean. Not the police, nor the airline office, nor any...
Who are you, and what information do you want?
I am Ramon de Lagos, Senor, and I am here...
De Lagos?
Wait a minute. That's the name of one of the...
Yes. Look, are you related to Maria de Lagos?
My wife. She was on the plane. Now tell me, please, what news do you have? Have you reached the scene of the crash?
Yes, we have. 2 hours ago.
And what did you... Is there any chance...
I'm sorry, there were no survivors.
No. Oh, no.
I'm sorry, Senor de Lagos.
It is too terrible.
I didn't know you were here in the city, or I'd have let you know right away... I sent word to your office in Havana.
I have been here for 6 weeks. Maria came for a visit only a few days ago. Now?
I know, it's a rough deal. I am sorry. This is Johnny Dollar from the States.
Senor?
Later, sir.
He's here to investigate the cause of this thing.
What is the use, senor? It will not return life to the dead.
No, but I don't like to see a murderer get away with it.
A murderer? Then the rumors are true.
The plane was destroyed deliberately.
It is hard to believe that anyone would... Senor McLean, what arrangements are being made?
The bodies will be brought down to the Federal District Hospital. And I'll see that you're notified.
Gracias, senor.
No, let's see. I believe your wife's brother, Don Serrano, is staying at the Hotel Regis.
Yes, he is. But I am at the Monte Cassino. Don Serrano and I are not friendly.
I see. All right, senor, then I'll contact you at the Monte Cassino as soon as I have word.
You are very kind.
And again, I'm sorry.
Yes, that is all one can say. Adios, senores.
Know anything about him, Mac?
Well, only what his wife filled out on the flight form. He's Cuban. Residence and business address, Havana. In the export game. And you know, of course, that his wife was one of the 3 people who took out accident policies.
But naming her brother, Don Serrano, as beneficiary, I wonder why.
Well, that's one of the 6 dozen questions you can ask when you start prowling. Look, I hate to rush you, Johnny, but I ought to start that jeep up the mountain.
I'm ready anytime.
I'll let Gino know you're coming. And you check with me if you want anything. You'll have full cooperation from the federal police and the government. And to repeat just one thing, Johnny.
Yeah, I know. Whoever did it, get him.
Check.
The jeep driver was a young Mexican boy who had been brought up in the best and wildest chauffeuring traditions of the capital. He knew only one way to drive, with both accelerator and horn wide open. Since most of the other drivers were playing the same game, it was a sheer miracle that we ever got through the narrow streets of the city and finally reached the open valley. Maybe the colored postcard pasted on the dashboard, a picture of the Virgin of Guadalupe, had something to do with it. We finally left the last cart road and bumped along a narrow woodcutter's trail, cleared and widened enough now so that we could drive into the crash area and miss the mile and a half walk the first rescue party had been forced to take. For some reason, only a small part of the wreckage had caught fire and burned, and the rest was strewn piecemeal along a great raw gash through the trees and brush. Men in uniforms of the Mexican Army searched through the tragic debris, lifting, sorting, and collecting. And nearby, a silent group of Indians were watching, with the age-old sadness in their eyes.
You are Señor Dollar, no?
Yes.
Gino Romero, Señor.
Oh, glad to know you, Gino.
It's a terrible thing, no?
Yeah. Any ideas yet?
Not of importance, but it's certain now this. It was caused by one explosion which has occurred in the baggage compartimento. Venga, sir. Come on. We have found many pieces which can be identified, can be known which part of the plane they are in before the crash.
I see.
Toward the front, these pieces are more large, but in the back, near the tail, they are very little. Here, you look. These are pieces of the baggage. Muy pequeño.
Hmm?
Very tiny.
Oh, yeah. The crash itself wouldn't have done this. It had to be an explosion.
Seguro. Look. It's burnt a little, each one of these pieces, but these more big ones from the seats of the plane, they are not burnt. Here, you smell these ones.
Hmm? Yeah, I see what you mean. Either dynamite or nitroglycerin.
Well, it's dynamite. We have found little tiny pieces of red paper from the wrappings on the sticks. Was dynamite.
Any idea how much? How big a charge?
One of the soldados, Pascual, who have used much explosive, is think maybe 30 or 40 pounds.
Light enough to be put on board in a piece of luggage. It's going to be tough, Gino. Plenty tough to.
They're bringing out the bodies.
The Indians set up a low, wailing dirge, and one of them taps softly on a native drum. A wordless terror before the ancient mystery, death. One by one, the bodies passed us, borne by the silent soldiers.
Madre de Dios, may they find peace.
Then, for the first time, I noticed the girl, standing alone some distance away, watching without expression as the stretchers passed her. She was young, blonde, and beautiful. Not conventionally so, but beautiful as a young animal is beautiful. And she looked very much out of place.
You are observing the señorita, no?
What's she doing up here?
Quién sabe. She's strange, that one. Always she's look for danger. She's what you say, the daredevil. But it's like she always have the charm. Death has never find her. So perhaps she has come here to look on his face.
Do you know who she is?
Well, see? She's American. Her name is Marvel Terrence.
Marvel Terrence?
You have heard of her, senor?
I'd heard of her, all right. And I'd wondered what kind of a girl would have a first name like Marvel. And now I knew, partly at least. And I planned to find out a whole lot more. Three of the people who died on that plane had taken out flight policies. Maria de Lagos was one of them. The other two were men, both of whom had named as beneficiary Marvel Terrence. Johnny Dollar here. Go ahead.
McMacklin, Johnny. Is Gino around?
Yeah, he's over across the slope at the moment. They're getting the bodies out of what's left of the plane.
Well, how does it look? Anything new?
Nothing we hadn't already guessed. It was an explosion, all right. Dynamite in the baggage compartment. Probably put on board in a piece of luggage.
Well, that figures. I've run into something down here in the city along those same lines.
What do you mean?
The ground crew remembers one of the baggage handlers acting strange before Flight 6 took off last night. A man named Ramirez.
What do you mean, strange?
They say he had one suitcase that he wouldn't let any of the other handlers touch. Put it on the plane himself just before takeoff.
Hmm. Hey, you know anything about tigers, Mac?
Tigers?
I'm about to tangle with one. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Mexico City, to the Home Office Guaranteed Transport Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Flight 6 matter. Expense account continued. I was taking Gino Romero's word for it that the girl was a tiger. His word and my own instincts. At first glance, she seemed soft, shy, and lovely. Then you sensed a wildness about her, a kind of suppressed violence that brought you up short and made you stop and reappraise her. She leaned against a tree, watching the bodies of the plane crash victims being carried down the slope and placed in the army jeep, with no sign of emotion on her face. Cool, detached. She had no reason to be here, and I wondered why she was. The only way I knew of finding out was to ask her.
Yes, what is it?
You're Marvel Terrence, I believe.
That's right, and I have not met you somewhere before.
No, but you're about to. My name is Johnny Dollar. I'm an investigator for an insurance company up in the States.
I'm sure it must be very interesting work.
Sometimes, on some jobs. Other times, it's only dirty and disgusting. Like this time, for instance.
Well, we all have our problems.
Maybe I can help you with yours, Miss Terrence.
Run along, will you? I'm not in the mood.
Oh, you amaze me. I think that seeing 10 bodies picked up and hauled away ought to put anyone in a gay, carefree mood.
Look, beat it.
You came out here sightseeing, didn't you? 20 miles from town? So you must like this kind of thing.
I had friends on that plane, Mr. Dollar.
So did a lot of other people. But maybe not as good friends as you had.
I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't care.
E.H. Palmer and Jim Rourke? Were those your friends, Miss Terrence?
Now, let's get this straight. I'm not interested in playing footsies or any other game you have in mind. You're wasting your time, Buster. Now get going.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Maybe you've got the wrong idea. This isn't just a social chat.
No, you want to help me with my problem.
Just one problem. I'm wondering how you're going to spend that $50,000.
What?
Yeah, that's a fair-sized chunk of money to drop right out of the sky.
What are you talking about? What $50,000?
The money you'll get from the deaths of your two friends, Palmer and Rourke.
What do you mean?
Say, tell me, were you with them at the airport last night when Flight 6 took off?
Yes, I was.
Then you must have known that they both took out flight policies and that both of them named you as beneficiary.
No. No, I didn't know. I wasn't with them exactly. At least, not up until takeoff.
Then you claim this is all just a big surprise.
Of course, I didn't know a thing about it. Well, it's just like them. It's what they do.
Why did you come out here to the wreck, Miss Terrence?
I don't know. Ed and Jim were my friends, and I don't know why I came, Mr. Dollar.
She came because I brought her, mister.
Hmm?
No, Bill.
But I didn't bring her here to be pushed around by some morbid curiosity, huh?
No, please. This is Johnny Dollar, Bill. He's an insurance investigator. Bill Blakely, Mr. Dollar.
Hello.
He was asking me some questions.
Why you?
Because Ed and Jim both took out insurance policies in my name.
What?
Flight accident policies, $50,000 worth.
Well, I'll
Mr.
be...
Mr. Blakely, you said Miss Terrence is here because you brought her. I wonder if you'd tell me why you're here.
I don't know that it's any of your business.
Sometimes I make things my business.
Then sometime you may get your teeth knocked out.
They're in pretty solid, Blakely.
Yeah? Well, maybe...
Bill, stop it.
Sorry, Marvel.
Ed Palmer and Jim Rourke were Bill's business partners.
What business, Mr. Blakely?
Engineering. We're building some roads around Mexico City.
How many partners? Just the three of you?
Yeah, it's just... That's right, Dollar. The business belongs to me now. What about it?
Nothing about it. Congratulations.
One more crack
Bill,
like that...
Bill, I said stop it.
Let's go, Marvel. I've got to get back to town.
Wait for me at the truck. I'll be there in a few minutes.
All right. Suit yourself. Dollar, just one thing. Don't push me.
Blakely, 10 people died over there on that hillside last night. They were murdered. I intend to find out who did it. And if it takes pushing to find out, then I'll push. See you around.
Yeah, you probably will.
This thing hit Bill pretty hard, Mr. Dollar. You have to make allowances.
How long have you known him?
A couple of months.
And Palmer and Rourke?
The same. Nothing serious, nothing romantic, if that's what you're thinking. It was all just for fun.
Was that all it was on their side?
Oh, men always claim to be serious. But that's only part of the game.
What else do you do, Miss Terrence, besides play the game?
That's all. I'm a wealthy orphan, Mr. Dollar, and my only career is drifting around the world playing the game. I'm ornamental, irresponsible, and rather useless.
Maybe not entirely useless. Just being ornamental has some importance in this world.
So you play too, huh?
I meant it.
I guess I was pretty obnoxious when you spoke to me a while ago.
Well, I suppose I asked for it.
I'm staying at the Hotel Monte Cassino.
Are you?
I'd like to see you again. I could teach you the game, Johnny.
Well, that's a very attractive offer, outside of business hours.
But you think I'm mixed up in this?
No, I'm not sure.
Well, think about it, Johnny. And call me at my hotel.
The Monte Cassino. That's where DeLagos is staying. Happen to know him?
Ramon? Well, yes, of course. Why?
Well, one of the passengers killed in that plane was his wife. Didn't you know?
I saw the name DeLagos, but I didn't even know he had a wife.
Another, just for fun?
I think you've got some wrong ideas about me, Johnny. Come see me and I'll straighten them out for you.
All right. I will.
And something else. You'll find it out anyway, so I may as well tell you.
Tell me what?
I had reservations on Flight 6, too. I was going over to Havana for the weekend. I canceled out at the last minute.
I see.
Maybe that's why I came out here. To see for myself. I'm not afraid of death. I've tempted it too many times to be. But it does fascinate me. I stood there watching and thinking. Could have been me being carried down that slope. Except for luck.
Why did you cancel out at the last minute?
I was talked out of making the trip.
By whom?
Bill Blakely.
I watched her swing down the slope, lithe, erect, and lovely. A strange girl, with an air of aloneness about her. An air that I felt would be with her even in the crowd. Strange, but also compelling. Exciting. She might be involved, or she might not. I didn't know. But I was sure of one thing. In either case, I was going to see her again. An hour later, Gino Romero and I were heading back toward the city in the government jeep, leaving behind us the wrecked plane, the crushed trees, and the lonely slope on the mountain.
You have found the young lady of interest, senor?
Yeah, I found her of interest.
Always she's doing the crazy things. Daredevil, flirting with the eyes, looking for danger.
Playing the game, she calls it.
Si, senor. Playing the game. Que lastima. It is too sad that 10 persons are not be playing the game now anymore.
Oh, it's all right, Gino. I'm not that much under her spell.
Que dice?
If she's guilty in any way, I'll pin it on her just as quick as the next one.
Oh, but I didn't...
It's all right, forget it.
No, I do not think she's guilty. It is not a thing she would do, and she does not need the money. She's very rich.
Do you know that?
Everybody says so.
Well, that's what I mean. It's worth checking into.
Yes. Possible, but I still do not think she would do such a thing. It is too terrible.
And she's too beautiful. Maybe I ought to give you the advice, Gino.
Before the beauty of a woman, senor, we are all as brothers, like Senor Blakely. I see he was look very disturbed.
Yeah, he did get a little hot under the collar. What do you know about him, Gino?
Almost nothing. He's come here for 3 months now, making the road.
And his partners, Palmer and Rourke, were killed in the plane crash. What do you know about them?
The same. Nothing. They all arrive together, always. They work together, play together.
Then along came Marvel Terrence.
True. They were all rivals for the señorita. And there is one thing.
What's that?
They have the building for the machinery outside the city, the warehouse, you call it.
What about it?
In this warehouse, they keep much dynamite.
Gino dropped me at my hotel, the Del Prado, on Avenida Juarez. I changed clothes, cleaned up, sent some telegrams to the States. And about that time, Mac Macklin phoned up from downstairs and asked me to join him in the bar. Expense account item 3, $16.40. Drinks and dinner with the chief inspector of the Federal Department of Civil Air Transport. And then some more drinks.
I've been here 7 years, Johnny. I like it. I feel at home here. I like the people and their way of life. But it'd still be good to see all shy again. The snow piling up along the loop. And the wind ripping in off the lake. The crazy little joints along Baker Street.
When were you there last, Mac?
1932.
Oh, then you're about due. Well, why don't you take a couple of weeks and fly up there?
No, too much water under the bridge, Johnny.
Too many little wars here and there in the world since 32. And two of them, McMacklin was flying in them. On one side or the other.
Oh, what of it?
Well, you know, Uncle Sam frowns on that kind of thing, Johnny, so we've got a sort of an understanding. I stay the heck away, and he forgets about me.
I see.
I've got no complaints, actually. I'm doing all right here, but sometimes I sure do get homesick for the old town. Of course, it's probably changed so much that I... Oh, yeah, yes.
Con permiso de telephone, Señor McLean.
Oh, thanks.
I plug it in.
Hello, yeah? What? All right. Well, have you told the federal police? Yeah, I'll be here for a while. Adios. Well, we just lost our best angle, Johnny.
What do you mean?
That baggage handler, the one I figured slipped the dynamite on board the plane. The boys just now located him. His throat has been cut.
Now, here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, a bereaved relative lies, a frustrated lover comes up fighting, and a lovely lady in the case just vanishes. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood, written by Les Crutchfield. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, there are actually quite a few things I liked about this episode, the way it's getting started. First of all, some of the dialogue, the first half of part two, I thought was great. I love the idea of the Irish Chicago police officer running this Mexican air police office. And also just a great cliffhanger. Make sure you want to listen to the next show. There are a few lines that will ensure you tune in next time better than his throat was slit. All right, well, that will actually do it for today. We'll be back on Wednesday with part 3 and 4 of this story. And join us tomorrow for Mr. Moto. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.